Good evening, folks.
Good evening.
Welcome to meditative worship here at Strongsville United Methodist Church. I'm Dave Shantz. I'm a retired pastor from the Florida district. I've been up here and going to the church here for the last couple of years. And I really thank them for this opportunity to share with you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We ask that you would open our minds and our hearts, that we might be touched by your word, and it might help us to become better followers of you. Our scripture this evening comes from 1 John, the 5th chapter, verses 5 through 13, and one verse from the book of John, chapter 14, verse 2. Be at peace in silence as you listen for the Holy One. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And from John, the 14th chapter, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? In our next few minutes, allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? These three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he's not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And from John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. And whosoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Sorry, I missed it again. There's a couple of songs that I recently heard, and they sort of really moved me. We have the Old Testament, but the people living with the Old Testament live by the law. And Jesus came along with a new covenant, and that new covenant was love. Love for all. Not just for your puppy dog or for your family, but for all. And sometimes that's very difficult. One of the songs, the couple of songs make us think about life after death and the world today. And Looking for a Window in the Wall is giving us a song that says, hey, maybe if we could find that window, we could see that the rest of the world, that others are not any different than we are. They're the same. And maybe it would help us with our love. Let me share the words of that song with you. Looking for a window in the wall. Has this world forgotten how to love? Are we blinded by the hate we let inside? No one's giving up or giving in. The lines are drawn and there seems to be no compromise. This isn't who we are. And it's time for us to start looking for a window in that wall. Maybe we can see the other side and find that we're not so different after all. Looking for a window in the wall. Sometimes hearts can grow cold, as cold as stone. And these then become the borders that we can't cross. The fertile fields of trust, where love had grown, slowly start to die when hope is lost. That's where we are right now, but we can turn it all around by looking for a window in the wall. Maybe we can see the other side and find we're not so different after all. Looking for a window in that wall. We're waging war. We've died enough. Fighting for everything but love. It's time to heal, to turn the page. It's too much to lose and so much to save. We have to change. Looking for a window in the wall. Maybe we can see the other side and find we're not so different after all. Looking for a window in the wall. And our scripture this evening was about obedience by faith. Faith in God's word and the words of Jesus and the promise that he gives us of eternal life. And how we act as followers of Jesus is the new covenant. The Old Testament was law. The New Testament, love. What's happening in the world today? Where's the love? Yesterday, Pastor Abby talked about the sheep and the goats. Well, I've known some sheep and I've known some goats that were pretty good looking, really. But it's so important that we love. We're human beings. Every once in a while, we're going to lose it. We're going to get upset with others. But the thing is, we need to get together. And I don't know about you, but I was pretty young when I heard that message, in my father's house or many mansions. And I thought, wow, you know, wouldn't that be great to have a great big huge mansion? And I thought, but wait a minute, that's sort of strange. There's millions upon millions of people in this world, and are we going to have a whole bunch of mansions? Well, the Greek word is monia. And that basic meaning for that is rooms. Now, you know, Jesus was the master of visual aids and telling stories using word pictures. He was sort of explaining that life in eternity is like having a private room in your family home. We get a little help from some fairly recent finds by archaeologists. They found something and they've called it the insula. And it was found all over the Roman Empire and in Israel and in places like Samaria and Capernaum. These dwellings were central courtrooms with a whole lot of rooms on the side. Living rooms and other rooms. These insulas were enlarged by adding more and more little rooms to the compound. Each family would have a single room sharing the courtyard with other families and their kin. Peter's home, they found in Capernaum, it had at least 15 rooms and it could accommodate 100 people. Now, this picture of this compound with the rooms around it was something that the apostles could understand. It wasn't fancy, excuse me, but it provided shelter and it was home. It represented the close-knit, supportive, living, extended families that ate, worked, played, and worshiped together. And it served as the ideal picture of heaven that Jesus sought to convey, maybe an eternal Walton's Mountain or your favorite family reunion kind of feel. I can remember times like that, and I'm sure some of you can too, when mom and dad and all the grandparents and the brothers and the sisters and cousins and their husbands and wives and children all got together. And everything was right with the world. I remember growing up in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. The house we lived in was rather interesting. There was my great-grandfather and great-grandmother, my grandma and my grandpa, my mother and my dad, my uncle, and an aunt, and a Cocker Spaniel. We were in a row house, three stories with a basement. I was pretty young, but I remember, I never heard any arguments. I'm sure there must have been some, but I never heard any. It was such a happy time. And I can remember going to family reunions up in the mountains of Pennsylvania, where there would be 100 people that were all my cousins and things that every once in a while you got to meet. And then World War II came. And one of the things that I remember mostly was about my great-grandpa. He was a conductor on a train. And my grandma would walk me down to the station every evening when he was getting off duty. And he would come down, and he had this really fancy blue uniform on with silver here and all those things. And he would lift me up and put me on his shoulder and carry me home. What a great thing that was to have grandma, grandpa, grandpa. They were all there. And then World War II came along. My aunt was a Women's Air Corps member, and my uncle was a pilot. By this time, we had moved to some individual homes, but we were still often together. We still had big reunions in the hills of Pennsylvania. I do miss those. Because of God's work and the work of many archaeologists, we're able to see the word pictures that Jesus told his apostles almost as clearly as the disciples saw it. Heaven is an intact, nurturing, loving, joyous, supportive family living together in the presence of his head, our loving Father. Our culture is sort of obsessed with longevity and long life, but we got to remind ourselves that life doesn't end with the physical death. The bigger issue is eternal destiny. And there's only one way to assure that we're destined for life in heaven. Turn always to Christ in faith and receive his forgiveness of sins and the gift of everlasting life.